Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Senior Pastor Randy Bain. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
This sermon series on a healthy soul, we're looking at a healthy aspect of gratitude today. And we're looking at Psalm 107. We're going to read the first nine verses. And then, of course, in the message, I'm going to go down through the different parts of that psalm because it kind of repeats itself. So, just as our Tuesday meeting, our council meeting and congregational meeting is kind of a practice run for December 1st, This sermon today and your notes might be a practice run for next Sunday, because next Sunday will be a testimony service, so we're going to see how much you learned today for next week. So let's read Psalm 107. I'm just going to read the first nine verses now, but we'll be reading the rest later. Hear the word of God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them also by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. Amen. Amen. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you. Thank you this for your word, Lord, and for the encouragement and the challenge to give thanks. I pray, Lord, that you would do a work of grace in our hearts today, that we would cut some Thanksgiving grooves in our heart, that we can play that tune over and over. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The memory verse is going to be this chorus that is repeated, verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31. But would you recite that with me, good and loud? Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Psalm 107, verse 8. I can remember it like it was yesterday. It was actually several years ago. I think I was coming back from, it might have been a church in Ohio from a conference. It was a Denny's restaurant. But this Denny's was one of those old ones that looked like a diner, you know, a diner's car. And when I went in and ate, and when I got up to pay, an older gentleman got ahead of me in line. And so there was a young guy running the cashier and this older gentleman ahead of me. And the young guy said, well, how is everything, bud? What can I do for you, bud? You want anything else, bud? Here's your bill, bud. And the more he said, bud, I was pretty certain that guy's name was not Bud. It just started to irritate me. I don't know. I mean, just why? It bothers me, I guess. And so I probably today, being a little older, and I probably would have given him a lecture on proper etiquette or something when it got my turn. But I just wanted to tell him, you know, if you would just say, sir, like, may I help you, sir? What else can I get for you, sir? How was your meal, sir? It would have been so much better. And the more he said, bud, 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 it just really got to bug me. And now, for his defense, he was probably trying to be friendly, right? I mean, I'm thinking that. But how much better he could have done. Have you ever heard somebody greet you with, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir? And if you hear that today, it's like, for me, it's like, oh, that's cool. You know, that's good. And that even when I was coaching sports, I called them sirs, the kids. You know, I'd like you to call them some other things, but, you know, I didn't, you know. It's like, you know, I tried to be respectful and honorable. But usually if you hear that, you think, first thing, you think they're a veteran, right? I mean, that's usually my first call. Oh, were you in the military? Because it seems like, I don't know, the military service kind of drives that in, this respect for authority, this learning how to be, you know, kind of respectful in your responses. Or maybe you think, did you grow up in the South? You know, because I don't know, my experience when I was in the South, the kids you'd run around, they always said, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, you know, it's no, sir. And it seemed like they just drilled that into them as a kid. You ever heard the phrase, it's like riding a bike, right? You know what that means? If you learn something and you practice it enough, even if you don't do it for a long time, you'll be able to do it again when you get back on the bike. And that's true. I mean, I can still ride a bike. The seat doesn't feel the same. I don't know what happened to the seats. They must have changed them since I was a kid. But I remember. I know how to balance and do the whole thing, you know. And I wonder if that cannot be true with Thanksgiving. You know, if we would learn either from childhood or just somehow practiced enough being thankful and saying thank you, being grateful, that it doesn't work a muscle memory in our hearts, that it's an automatic response. I mean, I know you've been around people, maybe
you're the one,
who is so negative, so critical, you know, you're just like, oh, not again. I just can't take them today. You know, and then it's always, this is so bad, and this is so bad, and this is, and it's just like, really? What if we would find places to say thank you? To find things that we're grateful for. I really think we need to work at this as Americans, as American Christians, because I think we're out of practice. As Americans, it's our right to complain, amen? I mean, we're Americans, you know? I mean, we have the right to vote, and we make decisions, and if it doesn't go right, then we can complain. You know, I mean, I really have troubles with people criticizing the president, making fun of elected officials. I mean, granted, they are good targets, aren't we all? You know, but it's like we need to find a different chord to play, a chord of prayer, a chord of thanksgiving for how God has blessed us. You know, as Americans, we think, well, all of our needs ought to be met, all of our wants ought to be met. I mean, I have it coming, you know, I deserve it, you know. As I think about a couple memory verses that almost made it into the sermon were Philippians 4:4-6. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. It says, let your moderation or let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. I wonder if you couldn't change that and say, might your gracious spirit or your thankful spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. It says, in everything by prayer and supplication, don't be anxious, but by everything with prayer and supplication, make your request to God with thanksgiving, and the peace of God will guard your heart and mind with thanksgiving. Another one of 1 Thessalonians 5, of course, says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and then in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Sometimes we don't find a lot to give thanks for. In everything give thanks. There's always something you can praise God for. Paul and Silas, you know, Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas hanging to the walls in prison, sang praises to God at midnight. Surely we can find time to praise God. On Tuesday, we had our staff parish relations team meeting in the evening, and of course, the devotions were about Thanksgiving, and our fearless leader said, well, let's just go around and everybody share three things you're thankful for. And I'm like, just skip me, come back to me. I got to think about this a little bit. I couldn't, like, right off the bat, I couldn't think of three things. That's maybe not the normal rhythm of my heart. You know, like, okay, I'll see you. So I actually thank God for my neighbors, Heather. That was one of my stories. Like, I have good neighbors, you know. Family's a little questionable. No, I'm kidding. it's Heather's parents that live next to me now. So Ann's probably watching on TV, so God bless you. But and then I had a couple other things that I was wanting to share that I was grateful for. But could you do that? Could you just think of three things you're thankful for? We need to practice that. And I think Psalm 107 really gives us that opportunity. If you read through this psalm, it's got four times the chorus is repeated. Four times it says, let us give thanks. Let us give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness. And it says, let us, for his praise, wonders to the sons of men. It's like telling us to exercise, or it's giving us an opportunity to exercise. You know, work that Thanksgiving muscle, you know, get it developed so that you can jump back on it when you need it. Well, I just want to take us down through this psalm, and we'll get it in good time. First one is the wandering ones. If you read that verse 8, that's the first time that is mentioned. But notice what it says. Verse 2 and following, it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. He has gathered them in from lands, from the east and from the west." It says they wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry, thirsty, and they fainted. But it says they called out to the Lord in their trouble. Verse 6 is also a part of that chorus. It says they called out to the Lord in their distress, and he delivered them out of all their distresses. He led them to an inhabited city. So they had no purpose. They were just wandering, lost. I don't know about you. Have you been there? Maybe you're there right now. You're like, yeah, I'm kind of in the searching mode. I'm trying to find my way forward. I tell you, that describes me to a T before I accepted Christ. I was, my mantra, my story would have been, if you would have looked up whatever in the dictionary, that would have been me. I mean, but my picture, because I didn't really know. I just was trying to get through life one day at a time. Whatever happened, okay, I'll deal with it. It'll be all right, I'll figure it out. And I had no purpose, I had no peace, I had no real joy in my life. It was just get over one day to the next. And you know, when I accepted Jesus as my Savior, he gave me peace, he gave me a purpose, he gave me direction. I mean, it's he has been faithful ever since. Even currently in some big decision I'm trying to make, the Lord has revealed to me, not what the decisions are, he's revealed to me, when the time comes, you'll know what to do, and when you make the decision, it'll be the right decision. I'm like, thank you, Lord. Really? You know, it's like, come on, you can do better than that. You know, he's like, nope, it's going to work. I'm like, okay, Lord, I trust you. But he's been ever faithful. So what about you? Have you had those times of just wondering, lost, thirsty, and hungry, not knowing which way's up, which way to go? Well, give thanks for how God answered that, how it met your need. At the bottom of your notes in the back there's three blank lines. Kind of got that from the spurt team, thinking about that. I encourage you, write down something you're thankful for. When you called out to the Lord in your trouble, how did he answer? How did he give you direction and purpose in your life? How did he meet you in that need? Second phrase, the second chorus, is found in verse 15. And it really, that whole chorus is kind of about the prisoners being set free. If you read that, verses 10 and following, it says, "There were those who dwelt in darkness and the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains, because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he humbled them, their heart with labor, and they stumbled, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, he saved them out of their distresses." Have you ever been trapped? Have you ever been in prison? Now, not just, you know, 2 hours a week, but I like that 20 years to life. That's good. Except if yours getting bigger, getting smaller gets bigger, right? 21 years for life, 20, you know. But you know, maybe literally you have been in prison. You would be shocked if you actually knew everybody here, and you would know how many of you have been in prison, have spent time in prison. But you're here now. Hallelujah. You know, God has set you free, and we give praise to God for that. But maybe you've been in prisons of your own making. Maybe in a prison of habitual sin, maybe in prison of addictions, maybe in prison of a bad relationship or a struggling at your workplace, and you feel like you're in prison. Just your circumstances in life, you might feel imprisoned. So they cry out to God and he set them free. Free in Jesus. Maybe not today, but maybe a time in your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to remind you, to show you those places where he has set you free. Look at the results. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. He broke their bands apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness. And then verse 16, for he shattered the gates of bronze and cut bars of iron asunder. Doesn't matter how big the grip on your life is, how dark the prison is, he can set you free. He can smash the gates of bronze. He can cut the bars of iron. That is our God. Let us give thanks to him. Maybe you've got an area, a story that you need to remind yourself of, or you need to give thanks to him. Write that down. Because I'm going to really need you next week, honestly. You know, it's kind of crazy if you've never been in a service where you just give an open mic It's scary in two ways. One, what are they going to say? And number two, will somebody have something to say? Because I'm not preparing a major sermon. I mean, I'm going to introduce it with scripture and then, okay, here's the mic. And so I'm going to look really stupid if nobody comes up. So I'm trusting God that you've got something to give thanks for. And you might want to write that down. The third one talks about the rebellious being restored. Notice it says again, verse 21, let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonders to the sons of men. And if you read the introduction to that chorus, the verse says, fools, because of their rebellious ways and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their souls abhorred all kinds of food. They drew near to the gates of death. Have you ever been so discouraged and so guilt-ridden that you couldn't eat? Yeah, that's what it's describing. And they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them. Look what he did to them. He sent his word and healed them. I'll say that again. He sent his word and healed them. You don't get it, do you? And he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their distress. No, I was looking for an amen. That's what I was wanting. So this side was working a little bit. Yeah, this side's kind of, you wanted to, but didn't know what to do. That's all right. That's all right. Thank you. And he sent his word and healed them. Oh, yes. Thank you. let's go. Let them give thanks. Let them say amen. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell his works with joyful singing. That's what we're going to do next week. Yeah, amen. Whoa, from the Matt section over there. Thank you, Matt. let them offer. You know, what this says to me as I read that verse is that I'm a sinner. I messed up. It's me. I can't blame my mom and dad. I can't blame my boss. I can't blame my wife. I can't blame the devil. Can't blame the pastor. It's me. I messed up. I am the sinner. I rebelled. I'm the fool that it's talking about. You know what? It said they cried to the Lord and he saved them out of their distresses. His word healed them. Isn't that awesome? It doesn't matter how badly you have messed up. God hears us when we cry out to him. He is only a prayer away. He's only a prayer away. Like the prodigal son, Luke 15, he took his inheritance, his half of his father's inheritance, and he went and he spent it all in wild living. He messed up. And he found himself so down and so low that even pigs, the unclean animals of the Jews, were getting better food than he was getting. And he came to his senses that, hey, I've messed up here. My father's slaves are better off than I am. I'm going home and asked to be a slave at my father's house. Didn't work. His plan didn't work, right? Because even when he was on his way home, his dad saw him and ran to him and greeted him and hugged him and made him a son, gave him his robe and shoes for his feet and the signet ring. And they had a party. My friend, if you call on the Lord, you become a child of the living God, a son and daughter of the King. It doesn't matter what you've done, how bad you've messed up. He is there for us. Some of us have stories to tell. Some of us have been there. And we have cried out to God, and he met us. Talk about Juan getting in such a mess, and now to be a pastor of a big church in Colombia, and with his certificate, have his ordination certificate from Disciple Bible Study, from, is it Loretto? Is that where he was in Loretto? Woo! Hallelujah! I mean, that's exciting. That's the kind of God we serve. You can call on him. And finally, the big storms. You know, it says, let's give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonders to the sons of men. And it says these people go down to the sea. That's their business. They live in the great waters. And the storms come up, and the waves are... someone was telling me about being on a cruise ship. And they said, yeah, you would think that the cruise ships always miss the storms. She said, but this cruise ship, the storm was 100 miles away, but yet, and these ships are huge. She said, but the waves are crazy. I mean, they're so high and so low. And I thought, wow, that was, and that's what it's describing here. Sometimes your work and your calling is way more than you can do. Some of you have jobs that I don't know how you live. I mean, I know you're being asked by your employers to do more than you can do, and you're being pressured to do more. And people get laid off or fired, and they don't replace them, and you just are supposed to do more. And some, even in ministry, it's way more than we can do. It's over our heads. But, you know, some things we just can't do. But in Christ, we can do all things. Amen? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And, you know, if you're over your head, maybe it's just by your current circumstances, what you're facing, maybe health-wise, financially, in relationships, just your where you are. It's more than you can do. You feel overwhelmed. You feel like you're sinking in the sea with waves flashing over. God will meet you in those times of trouble. When it's beyond you, God will meet you. We all have our miracle stories. You know, one of my stories that I remember, the Lord reminds me of frequently, my mother died when I was like 9 and a half. And the miraculous thing about that story and what really gives me great hope and joy is that my mom back must have been, my oldest brother was born in 1951. And so my mother had cancer before that. And they operated. So in the late 40s, they operated on my mother. I just think it must have been like butchery. I mean, can you imagine what we know today and what they would have known in the 1940s? Well, they operated on her. The only thing I knew was if I saw my mom from the back, she had these dark lines on her back. So they did lung surgery or something on her back. She had scars on her back. And she went into remission from cancer. And during those years of remission, she had four kids. Four kids. And then, of course, afterwards, I guess it came back, and they were giving her, I didn't know this, but at the time, they were giving her radiation treatments, and her lungs were kind of burned, and she got a cold. And we went to school one day. She was in bed because she had the cold. And we came home. Dad is sitting at the table crying because Mom was gone. I'm like, talk about a shock. But you know the great thing about that? God gave her those years of remission to have four children. All four of those children are serving the Lord. We have grandchildren that are missionaries. We have a pastor, I mean, other married pastors. I mean, God has used her in such a tremendous way. And now she's enjoying a reward in heaven. And we celebrate that. But talk about it. You all have your stories. You all have miracle stories. I mean, we can talk about our kids. We can talk about a lot of things. But God is so good. And we need to give him thanks. We need to exercise those thanksgiving muscles. You know, I haven't shared that story. I haven't talked about my mom probably in, I don't know, a couple years. But it brings me great joy to think how faithful our God is. How God can take the worst circumstance and he can make something good out of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What's our challenge? Our challenge is, how can you give thanks to God? When I'm stressed, when I'm tired, when I'm frustrated, giving thanks is not my immediate response. My immediate response is usually just keep your head down and keep walking. You know, just keep plowing through it. You'll get there. It's okay. Just, it's not joy. It's not thanksgiving. It's just keep going. We need to exercise the thanksgiving muscles. We need to rejoice in the Lord in those times. If you haven't been exercising those gratitude muscles, it's time to start. If you never developed them, maybe you grew up in a terrible home environment or just whatever you're facing, well, then you need to learn some muscles. Go to a gym, I mean a spiritual gym, and learn how to give thanks. This psalm will help you. And then the sermon, that's what was intended in those blank lines, to force you to write something down you're thankful for. You ever done that around the dining room table, like at Thanksgiving? I remember we do that, and you always get the standard, thank God, I'm thankful for my family. You know, you always say that. That's a no-brainer, you have to say that. But then I remember one time my granddaughter we were going around the table and we had this our frozen corn that we can't, you know, we freeze in the fall. And Aunt Addie said, I thank God, I'm thankful for corn. You know, so you get that from little kids. That's sweet. But exercise, and praise God for what he has done. November, Thanksgiving ought to just be a holiday in November. It ought to be a daily practice for Christians. Start practicing. And then next week you'll get a chance to practice again. Amen? Amen. We're going to have the team come, the worship team come. Listen, if maybe you're at that place in this psalm where you're crying out to the Lord. If you need him and you're crying out, I invite you to come. We'd love to pray with you, cry out with you. But maybe God has just blessed you and you've remembered some stuff that you need to give him thanks for. You can do it here. You can do it next week. You can do it here at these altar rails. Let us pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I rejoice in your faithfulness, your loving kindness, and all the wondrous acts you do to us, for us, in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.